John, what did you do?
I clicked and then realized that's not going to work, and then I snapped. So okay. You're going to see two waveforms. Use the second.
Okay, we're live.
I realize I screwed up because I'm like, I need a clap. I'm petting the cat right now. Oh no, what am I going to do? I did this to myself.
Welcome back. First and
Bagel
foremost.
Should have done the clap.
Yeah, exactly.
You didn't want to, apparently. He's too busy sleeping.
Happy beginning of fall.
Happy fall, everybody.
To you and yours.
Yay.
Paul, you had begun to tell us, but feel free to continue. You had 10 fall goals for the year.
Oh, shit.
What?
Wow, way to put me on the spot. Holy crap.
No, you were like halfway through them.
10 fall goals. Okay. Survive 2020 is
the
first
one. That's a good start.
That's a tall order, though.
Yeah.
That's a hard one.
It's not looking so good. They keep trying to take me out, but they're getting everybody else instead. I don't have anything. I don't have any goals. I guess like try to keep up with the games that keep coming out. Oh, and TV shows, because I forgot Dragon's Dogma, that weird anime, apparently came out. I forgot all about that.
Right.
Okay. There's some other small things here and there I need to catch up on, but I don't know. Just staying afloat on the media, I guess, would be the big goal currently.
Well, I mean, the ones before the show, you mentioned you were going to try all the latest cereal.
I actually hate cereal.
Mining, bit mining, right?
I would definitely get into bit mining if I like had a system capable of it or the money to build the systems capable of it.
That's the thing, is you make the investment ahead of time and then it just works itself back.
Like, yeah, no, totally. But you need that investment ahead of time. Yeah,
exactly.
It definitely is, for sure.
Like, you're losing money not doing it.
Yeah, I think that's how that works, for sure. Yeah, no, I don't have any goals.
John, what have you been up to last week?
Not all that much, really. Just getting ready for fall. Weather's changing. Planning out things. I'm working on a charity marathon we're doing on the 10th. So,
oh,
in that
cool.
Planning, nice. Yeah, like getting out of the planning phases for that. And otherwise, just relaxing and trying not to go insane.
Yeah.
I have to, I was telling you guys before this, I have to go to Calgary this weekend, which is nerve-wracking to be on a plane. So that's fun. Luckily, a bunch of Switch games came out recently, so I can spend my time playing those at least.
Yep. True.
Yeah, flights, man. We'll see how that goes. John, I was telling this to Paul. I'm actually just kind of curious what like an airport is going to be like right now. Is it going to look like the same? Is it going to be like really quiet? Like, is there going to be like only 10% of the people there?
It's definitely going to be quieter. Like, are you having to take LAX at all? Or are you just going from... no, you wouldn't have to get near LAX. Your airport's probably going to be busy, but I don't know about Vancouver's or Calgary's. Like, they're probably going to be at like 25% capacity, maybe at most.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, that's what I'm thinking. Like, am I going to get through like security like really fast?
Probably, unless they have to do something extra for COVID. I don't know if that's going to slow down the process at all.
I'm assuming they're going to do the forehead gun at some point to make sure I don't have
a fever. The temperature gun?
Yeah. Yeah. At some point during the thing. That's my guess. You know.
I think certain airlines are doing that upon boarding.
I would hope that they would do that like before I get in the building.
I don't think you're that lucky.
Doesn't that make sense? That makes sense to me.
It would make sense, but I don't think they're organized for that.
I mean, I go to an outdoor gym class these days, and even though we're not going indoors at all, they still do the gun for me outside the gate there. The airport's just way riskier. But who knows? I'll report back with my findings, I guess, since I'm only going to be up there for less than 48 hours.
Yeah.
Because, fun visa stuff. That's what I get to deal with right now.
Ooh. Good times.
All right, why don't we do a podcast about video games?
Sure.
Yeah, the airline podcast is after this, so tune in. TDP Plus. Mm-hmm. The game is Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Not true.
All right, it's September 24th. I'm Sean Booker.
I'm Paul Fleck.
I'm John Wheeler.
This is the Top Down Perspective. I don't know if I said that.
It is, but, and you did.
Yeah. In case you were tuning into podcasts, you've come to the right channel.
Wait, which podcast is this again?
This is TDP Plus, right?
I think so, yeah. Where we're right, talking okay, about so Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Oh, Microsoft Flight Simulator.
Yes.
I got it downloaded. I'm halfway through the tutorial. How about you guys?
I've had two flights. They okay. were okay.
What did this Never developer do before? Is this a small indie dev?
Yes.
Yeah. I think from the makers of Microsoft Solitaire? Oh shit. Nice. Rocks. Klondike? Yeah, let's go. Minesweeper? Nobody knows how to play Minesweeper, you know? Anyone who tells you nobody. They understand the rules of Minesweeper is lying to you. And they made up their own rules, their own house rules, and they're only succeeding by luck. That's how that goes. All right, John, you weren't here, so I expect 2 weeks of games.
I don't know why you'd do that.
Trying to will them into existence.
Well, I did play a couple games. I've wrapped up another Pacross game, so I think I'm actually completely done all official Pacross games that Jupiter put out.
Nice.
So I'm
just free in time for Mario Super Pacross to come to the Switch.
Yeah, I already have the cartridge of that, though.
Oh, okay. Well,
yeah, so I'm good there. Okay. They were supposed to be doing some Sega-themed one as well. I don't know when that's coming out. But yeah, no, I'm free from that.
Jupiter
so
is
one of the major
doing a Sega themed one?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. I think it's just like Pacross Mega Drive or something like that.
Oh, that's right. That sounds familiar.
Yeah. One of the big things I've been playing these past couple weeks is Among Us, the hot meme game at the moment on Twitch.
Of course. Yeah. You're a streamer. How can you not play Among Us?
I also did a night of Among Us as well.
Shit's fun.
Yeah, it's fun.
I've played Avalon really all and Werewolf. Is that good enough?
They're pretty comparable.
It's like those games in that it really depends on who you play with.
Yeah.
So.
Sure.
So yeah. Basically, instead of like going to sleep and then just getting murdered in your sleep, like you actually had to do tasks and stuff like that, and you can be killed while you're doing your work. So that's the main difference between like Werewolf and Mafia.
Yeah.
There's a group of up to 10 players. You can have up to 3 imposters, and the imposters have to kill all of the crewmates or be like one of the last ones standing by the end of the game. There's 2 ways to die. One is an imposter kills you. The other is you get sent out the airlock or thrown into the lava pit, depending on which map you're on. And that involves like a voting system. So the main idea about this is you're trying to figure out who is the imposter. So you just kind of like present your arguments. Or you just get blindly voted off and thrown into space. That also usually happens too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So all the tasks are different challenges.
I was going to say real quick. I hear this is the first game to dethrone Fall Guys from
yes.
Like,
yes.
the top of the thing. Yeah. And they just canceled Among Us 2.
Yeah.
Which they had announced a month ago.
Yeah, now they announced Among Us 2 when the game got super popular, and then they realized, no, let's just put all this stuff into Among Us 1. So they canceled the sequel, and they're putting it all into the original game.
That makes sense. Why would you try to split that player base?
Yep.
Like, yeah.
There's no way everyone's just going to move over. So yeah, that makes
Especially
sense.
Especially when this one's only like $5 or free on phones. So
that's right. Yep. I should download the phone one. I should.
Yeah, no, it's real fun. The tasks you have to do are pretty simple. Either like, okay, slide your finger over here, or like play Simon Says, or like type in the numbers 1 to 10. Being the imposter is pretty fun because you get to like warp around and you have to just see if you can convince your friends or whoever you're playing with that you didn't murder someone right in front of them. Right. It's a fun, challenging game, but Paul's entirely right. It depends entirely on who you're playing with. If you're playing with strangers, you're not going to get the same amount of enjoyment. And I feel like voice chat also adds to it. So
that's how it works. Why would you play this without voice chat? That seems
so. A lot of people play this on their phone using text only with people they don't know, and I don't understand what they're doing.
Okay,
I don't get it.
So. I mean, okay, first thought thread is, why would you ever play like Werewolf or Mafia without talking to each other? That seems like you would break the game. I don't even know how you would do that. Two, maybe that would be actually kind of fun and funny if you have to just like mime everything. I might write that down for a games night.
And, it's a little different.
Text could also be just kind of funny because I'm assuming it's a lot of all caps.
Yes, it is a lot of all caps.
It's a little different in that way. I think why it took off more so than those games is because it is still a video game. You still always have something to do. Even when you're dead, you do tasks. So you are always like doing something. It's not just about the like social manipulation and lying or trying to convince people. That's kind of just like maybe not even half of it, maybe like 40% of it. The other 60% is actual gameplay where like everybody has to do their thing and work together in their own separate ways or whatever. I didn't have this problem with who I played with, but I heard some people are having problems where they're playing with some people that are like, okay, we don't know what we're doing or whatever, mixed with people that are like try-hardy and need to win everything. So it's like that those groups don't mix because it's like this person doesn't know what they're doing and this person's like, okay, what task are you doing down there? Okay, I know you're lying because that task doesn't exist. You're the person. Get him out of here, sort of thing. It's like, well, what was I supposed to do? Like, I don't know.
I see where you're coming from. I do also like the idea of putting those two together. And then when someone does say that, the person just being like, well, I mean, I've never played this game before, so I don't even know what I'm doing. And then how do they argue with that? And I think that's just kind of a fun dynamic.
Yeah, I mean, they do argue with it, apparently. So I don't know.
I mean, this is the same with Werewolf and Mafia in real life. Yeah. You need fun people who are willing to kind of lean in to the silliness of this whole thing. So this is why I want to ask if I primarily play Avalon. If my Avalon strategy would work, and that's just no matter what the outcome is, I'll just yell, and then everyone's confused about what side I'm on.
you just embrace chaos at that point, it sounds like.
Pretty much, yeah. And it works like a lot of the time, let me tell you.
I'll tell you how it usually goes, is that somebody finds a body and they're like, all right, blah blah blah. Somebody says, okay, I don't think it's this person, and then everybody's like, okay, it's that person, vote them out, and then they do. Because people are fucking lemmings, and as long as somebody says to do something, literally everybody else will. So okay. It's super easy to manipulate people in that game. It's stupid. Like, so many times where I was, like, the imposter, I'd just be, like, call a meeting. Yeah, I just saw this guy. I just saw, like, Red kill this guy. Vote him out. And it usually works. Like, it's okay. So stupid. Yeah. I saw a few games of people playing the text-only random public games. And it seems like that's even worse about it, where people will literally just be like, it was blue, and then everybody votes blue.
Yeah. Like,
they don't even talk it out, because you're in text, so. Yeah.
Definitely a game to play with friends, or people can vouch for.
Yeah. Sure. I think so.
So that's been fun to do.
That is the one nice thing about Mafia, though, is that's... Mafia is like a go-to, like, hey, I'm at a party and I don't know anyone. We could play Mafia. Like, it doesn't really matter. Like, it'll work.
Yeah.
Other than that, I started playing this little game on Switch called Cyber Protocol. It's basically slide puzzles, but as like a what's the aesthetic I'm looking for?
Sequel to Alpha Protocol.
No, it's a cyberpunk vaporwave aesthetic.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah. So it's a puzzle game where you're like, what? No spies.
There's no spies. No.
You're a hacker. You're a hacker instead. So
I don't even want to play it.
Okay. Well, I'm glad we had this talk. Jesus.
You must have this many spies for me to even care.
Yeah. If it mentions a protocol, it has to have this many spies for Sean to care.
Yeah.
Sure.
I don't know. He doesn't even have to mention Protocol. I just like all games. That's just kind of my litmus test.
So I don't. I mean, I'm looking at your list, and you say you don't play Mario.
Yeah, I don't play any Mario games. Yeah. Streets of Rogue has basically spies, so that one
counts. That's true. It does.
And Spellbreak. What is a spy if not just a wizard?
True.
I don't think that's how that works. Anyway, Cyber Protocol, slide puzzle game where you're moving around a map and you're trying to collect all these items and get to the goal with a pretty good soundtrack, honestly. And like that, just that whole like cyberpunk aesthetic. It's fun if you want like a little game that you just want to solve some puzzles, like real chill. And it looked to be about 100 stages, so it's not exactly devoid of content either. So if you want just something super laid back for that, I think it's pretty cheap too.
Yeah, it's $10, I think.
That sounds right.
Well, on PC anyway.
Oh yeah, so it's also on Steam. So yeah, that's like I said,
this just game looks like Pac-Man.
It does look kind of Pac-Man-y.
Kind of, but it's more like the ice puzzles from Pokemon, because you pick a direction and you go in that direction. You can't stop until you hit something.
Right.
Yeah. So it's one of those like you have to hit the wall kind of puzzles. And then just keep sliding.
Whenever those do pop up in any game, Pokemon is always like my... Oh, I remember these. Yeah, Ice Caves and Pokemon. I've been doing this my whole life.
Everyone who games pretty much grew up with those, so...
Yep.
Yeah. This looks neat. Also, it's 1-4 player, apparently.
Oh, yeah, it has multiplayer, but I don't know how that works.
Yeah, that seems weird.
Other than that, recently I've been playing...
Each person controls a direction.
Oh, God, no. God, no. other than that, I've been playing through Chrono Cross with Reese. So
nice.
Okay.
Chrono Cross is a PlayStation 1
not
RPG.
Trigger.
What? No, not I've not I beat Trigger a long ass time ago. Both of us have beaten Trigger a lot. Chrono Cross is one of her favorite games. So and I hadn't beaten it before. I never played it before. So we started.
I've
playing
never
it.
Played Chrono Cross either. That game. I don't know why. Did you start playing it because it randomly showed up on Amazon for $10 and everyone flipped their shit on Twitter?
No.
Okay, that's for whatever reason that happened this week. I don't
know. Oh.
Weird.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, we started like 2 weeks ago.
Okay, so maybe you were the genesis.
That's
of
it. We did it.
Selling
it was us.
$10. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
We're about 17, 18 hours in, which I think is roughly the halfway point, maybe. It's another one of those games that has like a main ending or two you can get at the end, and then there's like another 15 that unlock in New Game Plus or something ridiculous like that. It's different. It's sort of connected to Trigger and sort of not in a weird way. I don't know how else to describe it. Like it's not a direct sequel, but it is connected. It's in that world because they keep referencing things that happened during it.
Okay.
But it plays,
that sounds like a sequel to me.
Yeah, but it plays really differently, too, in that you don't gain experience. But there are still random encounters. What happens instead is when you do like key fights in the game, you get a star, and that star gives you a stat boost, and then you gain some extra stats after a couple fights as well. But it's not really on like an experience.
So it's kind of like Origami King?
Sort of, but not really, because you still have like... You still have like strength, HP, magic defense, all those stats.
Okay.
The way you attack is also very interesting. You have three types of attack you can pick, light, medium, and heavy. And you have 7 stamina points, and each one takes more and more, like light's 1 stamina, medium's 2, and heavy's 3. But they all have different accuracy values. Like you might start a fight and your accuracy on your light attack is 95 or like 85. And then your medium is like 70 and your heavy is like 60. But then if you hit with a light attack, it'll go up like 10% on the others. So the idea is to combo together to do the most damage. But it's really easy to miss even on like a 95%. It's like XCOM levels of missing. So the combat's a little weird. And then the magic and item system is this elemental grid where you don't have like an inventory that you pull from. You have to equip your characters with spells, and you give spell slots to your items if you want to use those as well. Each item has a certain level value, and depending on how many it's what type of attack you've done, you build up levels to spend to use those. So basically your spells get added into like a pyramid style grid where like a level one attack is like you've got 10 different attack options. Level two is like 5, 4, 3 and just keeps shrinking until you get to your more powerful spells. But you need to build up levels by hitting with physical attacks, which is, you know, depending on which accuracy you're doing, etc. It's weird to get used to. It's all right. But because there's no like leveling up per se, it does feel like you don't, it's both good and bad because you don't need to grind. Like I'm skipping tons of fights because it's really, there's a point where it's just not giving me anything.
Yeah.
But it's also weird because it feels like there's no sense of like difficulty spiking or anything like that. It just feels like a flat curve that you're going through the whole time, like a straight line. It's been interesting as someone who didn't really delve into more of the crazier PlayStation 1 Square RPGs. Because I know that that's when they experimented a lot on those. But yeah, so far it's been all right. I'm finally getting to the point where the story's picked up because it took a while to get there. And I'm curious to see what happens next. And that's all I've been playing.
Nice.
All right, Paul.
I mean, the big one for me is I grinded out a bunch of Marvel Avengers stuff. Nothing to talk about there.
How did you feel about it?
The story's pretty fine. It's good. Now it's the worst part of the game, which is the multiplayer stuff and the grind.
Oh.
So I'm less inclined to do that, but at least it's a podcast game. So there's that where I don't have to pay attention to it. It has weird glitches here and there too with the multiplayer stuff and the matchmaking's garbage. So yeah, it's a bummer. If they had just focused on like really making that campaign even better, like it would have been fucking fantastic, but instead it was just kind of okay. I still don't recommend it to people, even though I liked it. It's one of those. Yeah. The big thing for me though is because they announced Monster Hunter Rise and like kind of announced that last week. I was like, I gotta finish Iceborne at some point. So I loaded up Iceborne this week and finished that campaign mode or like the assigned tasks, the story stuff. So yeah,
right.
I did that. That nice. Was, I guess, the big thing.
Did you play that Witcher mission?
That's like side content. And I did that once already on my PS4. Okay. So I'm not going to do that again on PC.
Okay.
Yeah. It's fun though. That Witcher stuff was good. And I've been playing Crisis Remastered because I needed to see how that thing was. It has a setting mode called Can It Run Crisis? And no, it can't.
No?
It cannot. That mode is extraordinarily taxing. Like, unnecessarily, because that game isn't, like, beautiful by any means. It just turns everything up higher than it should be. To the point where no graphics card apparently on the market currently can run it at 4K on that setting at like 30 frames. They all dip. Okay.
Well, those, what, 3090s?
Are just, the 3090s just around the corner. Will rip it to shreds. The 3090 is so powerful, there's no CPU that exists right now that won't bottleneck it. Like the 3090 is stupid, crazy, powerful. So
nice.
There's that.
I bet my dad can beat it up.
Yeah, exactly. That's just Crysis. If you haven't played Crysis before and you kind of want like a better looking version of it, it's still a good game. It's still not as good as like Crysis 2 and 3 when they started introducing more fun gameplay elements into it and some of the like suit stuff, like the invisibility and the like shield and running bow? And stuff worked better.
Isn't that a big thing for 3? They had a bow and arrow?
Was that 3 or 2? Yeah, it was definitely later, for sure.
I think it was 3. I think that was like part of the year of the bow when like
four games
were coming out that focused on a bow.
Yeah. Those games are still
playing on the Switch?
Crysis 3?
No, Remastered.
I have no idea.
Oh, I was asking if you're playing on the Switch, because didn't that come out on the Switch as well?
Oh, there's no way I'd play this on the Switch. That's crazy.
Okay, I just remember being like, this is going to be on the Switch?
And
I
was that's weird.
That's the one you wanted to go with.
No, I went with the PC version. Yeah, it's
Crysis. I bet the Switch one can run the Crysis Super Mode.
I bet you can't run the load mode of that game. It's yeah, it's weirdly taxing. It's a big remaster. It's fun. That game is still okay if you like shooters and weird alien shit that's going on. And Koreans shooting at you randomly. Yeah, good stuff. That's all. And like, I've been playing Hades, but we'll talk about that at another time. So that's all I've been playing.
All right. I meant to talk about this last week and just forgot that I played it. I played a bit of Spellbreak, the Wizard Battle Royale. This thing has been in early access for like 2 years or something.
At least.
And it shows, because like it is like a really polished looking battle royale. It plays really well. The lack of, I think it's missing a lot of audio things, like characters talking to each other, just kind of environmental cues. You know, I play a lot of Apex, and that game does a great thing of like kind of notifying the whole team what's going on through the character banter. If in case you're not like voice chatting, like if someone's getting shot at, it'll be like, oh, hey, I'm engaging the enemy. And if like a second squad comes in, we're getting attacked by a third party. Like it tells you all the time what's going on. Hey, ring is closing, guys. We're pretty far away. Stuff like that. These characters don't talk to each other. So it's weirdly quiet than what I'm used to.
Sure.
But I think it looks pretty great. But it's still early access, but it went free to play and it's out on everything I'm playing on the Xbox. I think the music's nice. And I think the best thing it has going for it is the like weapons and the spells. So the way you fight is you get two gauntlets, one for each hand. And it can be like a fire gauntlet or a stone gauntlet, ice, lightning, stuff like that. And the best part about it is those can combine, and you can even combine them with like teammate spells or enemy spells. So for example, let's say you're fighting an enemy and they throw a tornado at you because they have a wind gauntlet. If you shoot a fireball into that tornado, that is now your fire tornado, and it'll actually the flames will combine with the tornado to like change, and it'll be a fire tornado. Or let's say someone has the poison one and they do a big poison gas cloud and you put a fireball in it, you cause an explosion because it'll react to the poison cloud and blow up, and that'll be yours now. So you can like steal opponents' attacks and make them yours, or combine stuff together to do a different attack and stuff like that. And that's really cool, kind of figuring out how that all works. I haven't played like enough to like me and my squad to be like, yo, let's combine and we'll make this. But I could see like high level play doing some really cool combos. I would like to see that. Also, you start with a double jump. So like already there you go, double jump.
And you fly around, right?
You can straight up fly as well. And you do get other abilities. So you don't have like an ultimate, but you can pick up like kind of like a main ability. And there's a bunch of those ones. Some of them make you go invisible. Some can make you like do a dash or like a short glide and stuff like that. There's a whole bunch of different abilities and whatnot. And then it has like your typical loot that you'd find in a battle royale. Like I'm going to increase my like run speed, or I'm going to increase the amount of health or shield I have and stuff like that. That's all pretty standard. The best part is though, kind of all how the magic combines together and can play off one another. The weird thing, so it has crossplay, but the weird thing is like it's like never finding that many players. It'll so like, you know, you look at the like achievement list and the achievement for like coming in first place, like 99% of people have that achievement. And you're looking at that being like, how is that possible? It's because it puts you in a game that's 95% bots. I don't know why it does that. Like I don't know if the player base is really small. I was under the impression this game was pretty popular.
No, it did extraordinarily well. The first week it had over 2 million people playing it.
Oh, right. Geez. For some reason, it just makes you play against bots, and every now and then there's a human. So like I'm playing around with my buddy and we'll come across people and it's like, oh, we're beating these people. This has to be a bot. And then we'll come across someone who's actually playing and they'll actually like make it harder or kick our ass or something like that. So I don't know if the game is like easing you into human play or something. It's not being transparent about what's going on, but no matter what, when you start it up, you're going to be playing against bots for a while. I don't know
what are you playing
that.
On
I was playing on the Xbox version, but I had crossplay enabled.
Weird.
I don't really know, but anyway, that's Spellbreak. It's free to play. I would recommend trying it out because why not? It's free to play.
Sure.
I'll probably dip into that if, you know, as it goes. It is still technically early access and stuff, so I've also been playing Mario 3D All-Stars.
Okay.
Why?
How is that?
Wow. I like Mario Galaxy.
All
right. You've been playing that one specifically, right?
That's the only one I've played.
Yeah. That's what I figured.
John, why? What's your deal? What's your beef?
I just straight up didn't think you'd want to play it. Even though I know it was on the list, I still wanted to ask why. Because you're usually the person I talk to that's always the most like, I don't want to go back to games. I don't have time to go back to games.
Yeah, so that's
just
true.
Hearing you literally
say like, yeah, I went back and played Galaxy is surprising.
Yeah, true.
I don't know. I got desperate, man. I got put in a corner.
The shakes.
Everyone else was doing it. No, I don't know. I wanted to play some more Galaxy. That's kind of the big part about it. I think this whole product is kind of subpar, though.
I've been hearing that a lot.
This product deserves to be so much better than it is, and it just seems kind of like the like laziest thing Nintendo could have done, apart from literally nothing. Because technically, they did upscale some stuff. I've heard non-soft complaints that Mario 64 is just such an old game that if you wanted to bring it back, they should have put some serious work into it, and that the camera is an absolute mess because it still functions as if you have C-buttons.
Mario 64.
Yeah, exactly. But it's old Mario 64. Like I would be excited about an actual remake of Mario 64 that like looks like Odyssey. It could be the same levels and stuff. But like has actual camera controls. That's another thing is Galaxy doesn't have full camera controls too. It just has kind of like the rotation little aspect.
Yeah.
That's just weird.
Yeah.
It's just running around.
Odyssey's the only one that had that.
Yeah. And these do feel like a step back, from that for sure. Galaxy plays fine, except for the insistence on, hey, there was motion controls in this. We're not making it so we're not taking that out. So, for example, if you're playing in handheld, you have to touch the screen a lot because the game was designed for you to point things at the screen to like pull Mario towards a star or something like that.
Mm.
So it ends up just being this uncomfortable, like I'm playing, okay, now I got to move my hand up here and tap the star and then go back so we can jump, and I got to move it's just cumbersome.
Yeah.
If you're playing it docked, like I played a bit with the Pro Controller, You have to aim the Pro Controller around to like select the star to pull Mario over there. Like there's no way of getting around that. To the point of like, if you hit pause, your only options are hit pause again to get out of that menu or tap on the screen what you want. You cannot cycle through any of the options on the screen, even if there's only two.
What?
Mm.
Yeah, it is just an insistence on, hey, when this was on the Wii, you could point at the screen at all times and it was easy. But now, since I have to go out of my way to tap the screen, so every time I finish a stage and it says, hey, do you want to save? I have to take my hand off the right side of the screen and say yes or no. I cannot just hit A or B and to get away from that. Mm. It's just weird. I don't know, man.
So again,
I don't know. I wanted to play Galaxy.
I am curious. Did you think that they were going to like make it more accessible, or were you on the camp of? I kind of expected them to just port it because Nintendo knows they don't have to put in effort. People will buy it. So
it's weird. Yeah, it's weird though. I mean, because like when original All-Stars came out, they actually did some cool stuff with that.
Yeah, they did. That's true.
So there's a precedent there. And these Mario games are great. Like except for Sunshine, that game is just bad. But you know, I also heard with Sunshine, they fixed the camera control. It's no longer set to inverted, which is great. But you also cannot set it to inverted if you want that.
Interesting.
Which I personally think, okay, thank you for fixing some of the camera. But I can understand if you're a diehard fan, why is that not an option to go back?
That was never the problem with that camera. That camera's wonky. In so many ways, the fact that like it wouldn't work properly with any wall. That camera's fucked in that game. I like that game too, but fuck, that camera's terrible.
Yeah, I guess my hope with this would have been like, hey, we understand that some work needs to be done to get these on the Switch, and that they would have done a little bit more than like the bare minimum. Like, why do you insist that I have to touch the screen over and over again? It's literally just like a speed bump as I'm playing. Every like 5 minutes, it's like I trip a little bit while I'm walking down the street. And it's like, well, technically I am getting where I'm going, but I'm tripping every 5 minutes, and this is just kind of annoying.
Sure.
That's just kind of what it feels like. I don't know. I'll probably just touch Galaxy every now and then just to do a couple stars and whatnot. But it's weird. And the bummer is this, there was that article this week, or the headline this week of, it's like the third best-selling Switch game ever. So like
ever? Wow.
I thought it was ever. maybe it was just this year or something. I thought it was ever though. Like it did a crazy number of sales. So like Nintendo has no incentive of trying harder, which is kind of just a bummer for sure.
The people that seem to be getting the most out of it for sure are the people that have said, like, I played Mario 64, never played Sunshine, never played Galaxy. This is perfect for me. It's like, yeah, okay. That makes sense.
Yeah, it is getting these games to other people. I just feel like I just wish they were better versions of the games.
Yeah, I found the tweet. Mario 3D All-Stars is UK's third biggest game launch of 2020 and Nintendo's 15th biggest launch of all time.
Good lord.
Of all time, not even just the Switch, or all time for the Switch?
All time.
Gotta be. Wow. That seems crazy.
Yeah.
I think that might just be the UK, but still.
Yeah, that's nothing to, you know, sneeze at. Yeah, I'm curious kind of like what people who didn't play the older games are thinking, like who's getting anything out of Mario 64 at this point? It's not going to be a kid, right? Because it's going to look so old they don't even have the nostalgia to be like, oh, I totally remember the bomb.
It's definitely someone who grew
King.
Up with it.
Yeah, but then they're just playing a bad version of what they remember. Now they're just like, what am I doing? The same version, but without the rose-colored glasses. So it's not even like hyped up in their head anymore. It's just, oh, this is what I was doing as a kid? Like,
yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Anyway. The last game to talk about is I've been playing Streets of Rogue.
Nice. It's a good game.
Which is this weird little roguelike game that's kind of like just a... like systems based, how can we combine all these like weird little character abilities together to like get an objective done?
Yeah.
So like I said, it's run based. You're on these different floors and you'll enter what looks kind of like a cave with a bunch of people in there, a bunch of buildings and stuff. And it's from a top down perspective. You're being told to like, hey, you have to neutralize this person. You have to steal this item and you got to like break into this safe. And obviously if you just go around shooting people, everyone's going to get upset and it's going to be harder. So it's like, well, I'm playing as the thief and he has the window breaking ability. So I can sneak in through this window, which will get me access to this. Or I'm playing as the vampire, which will let me suck this guy's blood so that he'll be out of commission so I can get past. Or I'm playing as the soldier, which he comes equipped with a bunch of grenades. So why don't we just blow up this wall? So there's like, I don't know, 30 different characters, something like that. There's so many characters, which is cool because it just opens up so many different things. The jock is hilarious because his ability is that he just charges forward and he can just run through walls.
Yeah.
So that's pretty great when like I'm playing more of a stealth character, and it has co-op up to 4 people online, which is great. So we'll just have some people jump in and we're not talking to them voice chat. We're in a party chat, me and my buddy, and then they'll just start doing something. And it's like, well, I guess they did kill the person. Let's run. Let's get out of here. But yeah, like I'll be sneaking around and then all of a sudden someone just comes like bursting through the wall. And it's like, okay, I guess I didn't need to do any more sneaking. Let's go. But if you want to take it slow and you want to like combine your abilities together, it's like, hang on, if you can do this part, then I can shoot through the window and then we'll be able to do this. Or, hey, I can hack the computer for you and then you'll be able to get in there. And yeah. So it has a ton of potential of what you have access to, which is pretty cool.
It's so cool.
It is cool. I don't like the way it looks at all.
Yeah, I agree.
I think it is an ugly looking game.
Yeah, it's pretty bad looking.
It kind of reminds me of The Escapists.
Yep.
Like that art style, but not but like kind of worse.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like somehow worse. It just seems like, hey, we put no time and effort into the way this looks. We spent it all on like the game mechanics. This is a like how the game plays versus how it looks for sure. And that's fine too. Cause like I said, it plays fun. There's a lot of depth there. There's a lot to explore and find out. So if it's an ugly game, hey, it's an ugly game, whatever. But that's kind of like my one gripe with it. But yeah, it's weird. There's a ton of weird stuff in that game. Like if you're in a forest area and cannibals will just pop out of the trees and now you got to deal with cannibals chasing you around and that sucks. Or you got to like free the gorillas and stuff like that. There's a ton of weird things in there. And yeah, it's a cool little game. That's Streets of Rogue. It's on Game Pass. So if this sounds interesting to you, check it out. Like I said, online co-op. So that's a good co-op game right now.
It's very good. Yep.
All right, let's do some news because some big stuff happened.
Yep.
Like every week, something big happens. Quick check-in, because John, you weren't here last week. Did you pre-order any of the consoles?
I got a PS5 pre-order, but when I went to EB, I missed out on the Xbox One or Series X pre-order rather.
Cool. Which and you got the disc PS5, obviously, right?
Yep.
Nice. I too got a disc PS5. I also pre-ordered 3 Xbox Series. So I got an X, and then I signed on to work Slack, and I'm like, hey guys, I got an X number. And I was like, well, how'd you do it? And I was like, I don't know, walmart.com. It was pretty easy. And they're like, damn, if anyone can order some more, like we need them for work. And I was like, okay, I'll try. Hey, I got another X. Hey, I got an S. So I got 3 of those showing up, and I was like, you guys better either let me expense these or cancel these. And they're like, oh yeah, you can expense them. So now I'm just kind of stoked on having 3 Xboxes show up. I can't wait to take that photo and put that on Twitter.
Yeah, sure.
I'm going to just stack them on top of each other and be like, look at this. Look how dumb this is.
Wait, before we move on as well, one other thing I want to ask John specifically. Are you excited for the special edition of Devil May Cry 5?
No.
Okay.
Whoa. I think it's too early.
Yeah. Oh, well, when we were talking about it, I was just like, me and Sean were just like, yeah, we're probably not going to play it again. And I was saying, I really wish John was here because he's probably the only one out of the 3 of us that would be somewhat like stoked about this. So I just
I was just like, yeah, I figured, but I think they should have waited. But I guess it's a new gen, so it makes sense.
Yeah.
Did they do a special edition for 4?
Yes, but it was like 8 years later.
Okay. I don't remember that at all. But I didn't really play 4, so.
Yeah, it never got a physical edition. It was only a digital.
Isn't this one also only digital?
No, this one apparently is physical, because I've got a physical copy coming.
Oh, okay. It's going to be a box with a code in it.
Knowing my luck.
All right, let's start with the big one. It's at the top of the list here.
Yeah.
I would never have guessed this.
Yeah.
But Microsoft bought ZeniMax, which owns Bethesda.
Yes. Huge.
Huge.
Yeah. Yep.
Huge. Huge.
Or what was it? Like, 7.5 billion?
7.8 was what I had in my head.
Does it say it in this?
We're talking about $0.2 billion. That's like, who cares?
Let's just round up. Let's say 8 billion.
$50 billion. $100 billion gajillion dollars.
That's how rounding up works. They basically spent $1 billion or $100 billion. So, yeah, no, huge news.
This is crazy. They also announced everything Bethesda's coming to Game Pass, because Game Pass wasn't good enough, right?
Right, because now they're first party. So,
and now they're first party. This is insane. You look at all the other acquisitions that they kept getting, and then it's like boom and Bethesda. Like, holy smokes. Holy smokes.
Yep.
I'm super curious what this will lead to, like eventually they're going to be exclusive, right? They've said they're honoring all the contracts that they've already have out there. And they said that the same thing when they bought Double Fine and stuff. So that's why, a lot of those games are still going to come multi-platform. The Outer Worlds is multi-platform. But eventually it's going to be exclusive, and that is such a big get for Microsoft. Like, holy smokes.
It might be. Microsoft has shown they don't care as long as people are playing their games, what it's on. Like, this stuff might be on Switch still. It's probably not going to be on Sony. I feel
like Switch is like a neutral, it's like a neutral zone for both the consoles, right?
I mean, yeah, they're just kind of doing their own thing. They don't care about the console stuff. Exactly. Yeah.
So there was like a whole bunch of headlines going around with this. I think I saw that $7.8 billion is more than like Sony has ever made on their games, like the whole games department. Which, like, that was crazy to me.
That's a big number.
I think I saw that this was like the second highest like games related acquisition number ever. This is super crazy. Yeah.
It's very big.
And now all four going forward, Bethesda titles are going to be like day one and date on Game Pass. Like, that's just great. Like, holy smokes. That's so good.
All right. I'm going to break this down quickly for people that maybe aren't sure what this entails. So Bethesda Softworks and Studios they're getting Bethesda Studios to the development side. They're also getting id Software, Arcane Studios, Machine Games, Tango Gameworks, and Alpha Dog Games. What the hell do they do? Oh, they do mobile stuff. All right, fair enough. I've never played one of their games before. Stuff like Doom, Dishonored, Wolfenstein, Elder Scrolls. I mean, they just announced 6 like 2 years ago or whatever.
Starfield.
The new Starfield. Evil Within, Prey.
Fallout.
Like, huge, huge names. So,
yep.
Yeah.
This is like a 1-2 punch from Microsoft being like, yo, you need to pay attention to what we got going on. Like, I am so curious. We get like, you know, 3-4 years from now and the exclusives start happening. I'm so curious to see how strong that Microsoft portfolio is. And if it'll finally match Sony's exclusives, because that's all the thing that everyone always says, like, oh, I'm getting a PS5 because I want those exclusives. Sony has the exclusive games over the Microsoft. And I think this pushes Microsoft up there.
Yeah, this is definitely them playing the long game.
Yeah. It's huge.
Yeah, they've also said, I forget if you guys mentioned this, I just missed it. Anything that was already going to be PS5 exclusive or timed exclusive is still happening. So I think that's Deathloop. Yep. And I forget what the other game is.
The one from Tango Gameworks,
Tokyo. Yeah.
Tokyo, Ghost, like night.
Ghostwire night. Tokyo or something.
Ghostwire. No, I think that's it. Yeah, something like that. That one. Yeah. Yeah. There's been no announcements of if those are coming, but it kind of opens up the door of possibly. Another thing it opens up the door that I saw a lot of people on Twitter being excited about is the developers, the team New Vegas 2.
Yeah, so Obsidian and Bethesda are back in the same
Obsidian
umbrella again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, I mean, that would be kind of exciting. Obsidian's doing so many other things right now that I'm excited for. I don't care if that doesn't happen, though. Obsidian's kind of doing their own thing now, and I'm here for it. It's neat that it could happen.
Yeah, I mean, I like Outer Worlds as much as the next person. I was playing that DLC a few hours ago.
Okay.
But I know New Vegas is a fan favorite. So.
Yeah, it's a huge
Along with that, Bloomberg kind of broke this story just before Microsoft had announced it. Along part of that, the same article from Jason Schreier had mentioned that Xbox Game Pass subscribers went up from 10 million to 15 million since April of this year.
Yeah.
Wow.
That is a huge jump. I'm assuming the pandemic probably helped with that, people being stuck inside and wanting a shit ton of games for only a few bucks. But that is crazy growth. And it should be. Game Pass is the best deal in games, as far as I'm concerned.
It 100% is. Yeah. It's so good, in fact, it's actually scaring indie devs because they're like, we actually can't compete. If we don't get on Game Pass, our game's fucked. So people are getting worried.
I can see it.
Yeah.
I can see that for sure.
Which is its own, it's weird. It's a whole other set of problems that never gets highlighted, but the indie devs are sweating right now because they're like, well, how do I sell a game for $12 when you can buy Game Pass for $12 and get all new AAA games from Microsoft?
Nope. Yeah. I mean, hopefully the deals happening at Game Pass are making it worth it.
Yeah, hopefully.
I don't know.
We'll see. The other thing that I pulled here is Doom Eternal is coming to Game Pass October 1st. So
cool. Yeah. Nice.
I was just thinking about this a little bit earlier. Do you think this going like these types of buys don't happen overnight or anything? This has probably been in the works for a few months at least. And sure. I remember Bethesda took down notices to GeForce Now to get rid of all their games. Do you think because they knew that somewhere in the background Project xCloud stuff was going to happen and there's going to be a big like liability issue?
I see where you're going with that.
That probably was part of it. But like no one knew this was coming. There was no leak of this information at all. So
yeah,
which is rare as it is. Well,
but I think Paul's point is Bethesda would have known. And they were we're about to have a deal with xCloud and you did not ask us for a deal, GeForce. So no, thank you. I would like to bring to the table because it's I bet you've forgotten. Isn't Bethesda working on their own streaming service called like Orion?
Yes.
I bet that has something to do with that.
Also, I'll bring up another thing. The Bethesda launcher sucks. So I'm glad that it's not going to be defunct now.
Also, Google Stadia, are those games on that? I don't know. That's not a contender at all.
Yeah.
All right, next news story. Xbox announced what the expandable storage prices will be for their little memory cards, their SSDs. They're expensive.
They're very expensive. Yeah.
So a 1 terabyte one is going to cost you $220 American.
Now,
which seems like a lot. That's going to basically double the Series X's storage. The S only has 512, which is odd since that's a digital only console. So definitely something to think about if you're kind of going the S route.
Yeah. So you can still use 3.1 hard disk drives, but you have to transfer Xbox Series X optimized games onto the internal drive. But if you have this expansion card, you can run them off of this storage.
Right. Are you looking at the chart I have here?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So just to kind of break down specifically what you can and can't do with a typical USB drive versus these Seagate expansion cards, you can store any Xbox game on both of them. You can play Xbox One, 360, and original Xbox games off of both of them. You can only play games optimized for the Series X or S off the expansion card, like John just mentioned. And to get the speed and performance of those new games and the loading, you need the expansion.
Sure. Okay.
So again, something to definitely keep in mind. It kind of seems like if you get that digital one, and you fill it up pretty quick because, of course, you are. This is probably what you're going to want, which gets it more expensive than an X. So keep that in mind.
Yeah.
And in terms of confirming prices, they also announced the Xbox Series X controllers are going to cost $60 like they have been, not $70 like Nintendo and Sony are going with.
So nice change of pace where the controllers are actually cheaper than the games.
True. Well, we haven't seen Series X prices yet, right?
I thought those were confirmed to be the same. They were going to be $70 from here on out.
No, I think I've only been seeing like $60 on those ones. I think the only $70 ones I've been seeing are some of the exclusives for Sony. But I want to say, like, if I look up, like, Assassin's Creed Valhalla on Amazon. Let me do some quick reporting real quick.
Sure. That's what we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Man, proprietary hardware, though. Goddamn, they screw you every time with those prices.
Yeah. Sony was infamous.
This is a better deal than Sony's, though, right? Than the Vita ones?
Yeah, I'm not a fan of proprietary anything, though. I like going third party.
Okay. I'm getting a lot of stuff for like the Gold Edition and the Ultimate Edition, which is not helpful. I can tell you that Assassin's Creed Valhalla is $50 on the PS4, and that will come with a free upgrade, so why would you not just do that one? I can tell you how much Marvel's Avengers is based on my search for Assassin's Creed. Is that useful?
Yep.
How about a keychain that looks like the axe from Assassin's Creed 3?
That's weirdly
specific. That's $30. Is that useful?
Yeah, kind of.
All right. Well, that's what I was looking up here. That's what I came for. So hopefully I answered your question.
Okay. Let me tell you some more good news that Xbox is doing on the consumer front line.
Please. They
are finally allowing game preloads for physical media consumers. So what this means
is, so cool.
Is you can if you pre-order a game, if you don't even have the game and you don't know if you want it yet or whatever, it doesn't matter. If you don't have the game or whatever, you can download all of the like day one patches and all the media and stuff that it needs, and then it'll be playable once you put the disc in. So yep.
Or if you purchase it digitally, it's just ready to go.
Yeah.
Or if you don't want to buy it at all and you just want to use some bandwidth because you're crazy.
Yeah, you could do that. That's true.
Yeah.
This is,
you could fill a whole screen full of games you don't own.
This is definitely going to be huge for a lot of people with bad internet connections where they're like, I have to like start a download the night before or like 2 days before or whatever. You can do that, get everything in there. And then when you pop your disc in, it's just ready to go. Like, it's actually huge news that should have been
done. This is so cool. Like, it is so cool that they're doing that. Like, I love this. I mean, I already do pre-downloading because I'll usually like pre-order the game like the day before, just for this specific reason. But now I don't even have to like pre-order it. I can just, you know, in case like a deal pops up or something somewhere else, I can just like
preload it.
Use the regular thing, preload it. This is so cool. I think you need to use the Android app though. Which is an odd limitation at the moment.
Yeah, I'm sure that's going to change. There's no way that's going to just stay. And I wonder if the reason why it's just the Android app right now is because of the weird shit going on with Apple.
Yeah, this article brings up an interesting point to the end here. Microsoft spokesperson said they cannot comment on this yet because it is part of a larger functionality that is about to be announced.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm assuming you're going to eventually be able to do it on the console. I don't know how the Android one can already do it. It is a beta string of the Android thing. Maybe they're just kind of testing it out to make sure it works before they announce it full fledged, but that's still really cool.
Huge. Yeah.
Let's continue with some of the Xbox talk. Gears Tactics, notable Xbox Series launch title, will have cross saves with the PC version. Which means I might actually continue my save. Look at that.
That's pretty funny.
That's great. Except on the Steam version. If for some reason you played the Steam version of Gears Tactics,
you're screwed.
You can't transfer your save to the Xbox version. But who bought that on Steam? You're doing it wrong. Why would you do that? Wrong. You're the same person that downloads stuff just because you got too much broadband.
Give me all that patches, baby. Let's go.
I need to get rid of all this bandwidth I have. I can't carry anymore.
It's too much. It keeps coming out of the wall.
Exactly. Okay. More big stuff happening specifically with studios. A whole bunch of... Blizzard veterans are launching a new company called Dreamhaven that is going to be a development / producing company head up by the old co-founder and CEO of Blizzard Entertainment, Mike Morhaime. Currently, they have two studios under their belt called Moonshot Games and Secret Door, also being led by really big names from the old Blizzard days, like executives and stuff on Hearthstone, on StarCraft, and some of the Warcraft 3 stuff. So yeah, that's going to be interesting to see what happens with that. No like really big news yet, just the fact that it's existing is kind of the news. So
I think I was apparently it's people kind of just getting tired of Activision.
Yes. Yep.
I don't know how accurate that was or how confirmed that was, but I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case.
Yeah. Speaking of people breaking away from their overlords that harassed them and kept them in the closet and whipped and beat them. The old ex Lab Zero Games members, people that worked on Skullgirls and Indivisible, are making a new studio that's going to be a co-op, which means every employee gets a part in the decision making, called Future Club. So yeah, that should be interesting. We'll see how that goes. Some other co-ops that have been working so far, Motion Twin, that does Dead Cells.
Yes.
Is a co-op.
Yeah, that's the only one I knew about.
Mm-hmm.
Is there another one?
I don't, not that I can think of off the top of my head. Oh, okay. So this is going to be the second like big one, I guess. We'll see what happens with this, but hopefully something good, because I like those games. So it'd be cool if they could continue making good stuff. Okay.
Yeah, good for them, for sure.
Yeah. They're making a Yakuza movie.
Again.
Okay.
Because there already is one.
Again?
Yeah, there's already a live action one.
Actually based on Yakuza?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
The storyline isn't exactly lifted from a game, but like it's got Kiryu and Majima and a couple other characters from it.
That's okay. True.
I'm assuming the one we're talking about now is like a Western release. Or is the one you're talking about also a Western release?
No, Japanese.
So yeah, 1212 and Wild Sheep apparently are the companies that are working with Sega on it. I'm trying to see what else they've done, because either one of these are names I recognize.
I don't recognize anything Wild Sheep has done.
Yep, me
this
neither.
Is the first article at Variety for 1212.
Yep. So, I don't know. We'll see. I mean, why not, though, right? Like, a Yakuza movie seems like it would probably kind of write itself if you just go based on the game, but we'll see. We'll see how it does. Okay. This came out of nowhere for me. Amazon announced their venture into cloud gaming with a service called Luna.
So this runs off of Amazon's AWS platform, the Amazon Workshop that has so far made two games that no one liked.
Good start.
Yeah. But I mean, this isn't game development. This is an actual platform, and it looks like a Stadia.
Yeah, it does.
It looks like a Stadia. Yeah. I think the interesting part is the difference in pricing against Stadia. So Stadia, you can subscribe to their monthly thing, or you can just buy $60 games.
Right.
That's pretty much how that goes. Luna has Luna Plus, which is a subscription service that'll have a curated selection of games. Launch titles will include things like Resident Evil 7, Control, Panzer Dragoon. I'm surprised a Plague Tale's there, but good for them. Surge 2, Yooka-Laylee. It's like the first Yooka-Laylee is the one they were showing, but they said the words of the they said the title of the second one. So maybe both. I don't know.
They said Impossible Lair?
Yeah.
Oh.
They did say that. They were showing the first one. But anyway, there's an introductory price of $6 a month, so who knows how long that'll be. And the introductory price to get in with like the controller and stuff is $50, which that's less than half of what Stadia was. Mm. This controller looks like a Nintendo Switch Pro controller.
Yeah, pretty damn close.
Looks so similar to it, but it's got like some purple on it, so I like the color scheme.
Sure, yep. It's a good color. What I found interesting is that they're going to be doing a like Ubisoft channel, gaming channel.
Right. That's the key difference. Instead of buying $60 games, you will subscribe for an additional price to different channels you pick. Yeah. No info on how much a channel will be. I'm assuming they'll probably range in different prices.
Yeah.
But yeah, Ubisoft is the first one announced. There'll be a Ubisoft channel. It's going to have Valhalla there, day and date. That was the other thing, is they're going to have day and date of like Ubisoft titles when those show up in the channel.
Yeah.
My guess it would be $10. Uplay Plus is $15 a month.
Yeah.
And their introductory pricing is $6. So my guess would be kind of in the middle. My guess is the Ubisoft channel will be $10 a month.
Okay, sure. I could see that. I could also see them be saying $15 a month for the Ubisoft channel because fuck our consumers.
Does Uplay Plus have day and date?
Oh, I'm sure it does. It's their own company.
I hope so, yeah.
Oh, I thought maybe you knew. I thought you had subscribed to it in the past.
Oh, God, okay. No.
I wasn't able to find out because I don't even know how I would find out.
Yeah.
It's such a specific search I would need to do. So,
yeah.
So there's that. They said there's going to be things like, we'll even make channels based on genres. So I guess if they strike up a deal with a bunch of like horror devs, hey, do you want to put your game in the horror channel?
Yeah.
I don't know.
The other big thing that's going to be kind of interesting about this is, as everybody knows, they own Twitch. There will be a Twitch integration where people will be able to watch a Twitch stream on this and then just start playing the game right away from the stream.
Sure. Which is kind that of makes interesting. Sense. Yep. I mean, Google was kind of saying similar stuff. Like, you just see the game, you instantly play it. Yep. No downloads. And then they had the little, like, you know, video of everyone being like, oh, I don't even need to have a tower. That's awesome. No more patches that we've heard like nine times now. I mean, I might check it out if there's some exclusives that seem kind of interesting. This introductory price makes it, if this was another Stadia price, I'm like, I did this once.
Yeah.
Like $50. I might just try it out.
Yeah.
Just for like the novelty of being there. Who knows? I like the color purple.
Sure. Yeah. And the controller does the same thing, right? Where it connects to the cloud, I believe.
Yeah, they did mention, yeah, you can kind of jump around. And one thing is, they also said it's coming to iOS with Android later, which is interesting.
Yeah, interesting. So it's like, well,
how are they getting around the stuff Stadia is? You have to launch it through a website.
Yeah, it's iOS web, it specifically says.
Right. So you're not going to be able to download an app and then launch the app. You have to go on, like, on Chrome or whatever, go to the website, and then you're streaming through the website. Which,
yeah.
Okay. So that's a weird workaround. I guess we'll see if it does work. But yeah, all the footage was someone playing on an iPhone.
Yeah.
So.
Best on the Fire, obviously. The Fire TV.
Fire TV, yeah. Everyone's Fire TV.
Yeah.
Luna.
Yep.
Guess we'll see. Yep. I need to see some exclusives because, like, I like Control that as much as everyone, but I actually own two copies of Control, so so I'm good.
Sure. Speaking of two copies of a game that's not going to get a free upgrade for PlayStation 5, Spider-Man is also not going to. They've confirmed.
Oh yeah, this was super confusing. Does anyone actually know the answer already? I feel like every time someone explains it to me, I'm just confused.
Well, I'll read you the statement here. Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered is an enhanced version of Marvel's Spider-Man. It's included as part of the Spider-Man Miles Morales Ultimate Edition for PlayStation 5. In addition, players who purchase Spider-Man Miles Morales on PS4 can upgrade at no additional cost to the PS5 version of Marvel's Spider-Man Miles Morales and can take advantage of the paid upgrade to download Marvel's Spider-Man Remastered.
What?
Okay, does this make sense so far for everybody?
Yeah. No, you... Okay.
Okay. So
wait, you get the free upgrade, but then you pay for something else?
I'll dumb it down. So it's kind of like an expansion pack on the PS4, right? Because Miles Morales is coming out. It's like not a full game. It's kind of like an add-on. If you buy that, you can upgrade to the edition on PS5 for the extra cost of the full game on PS5, basically. It's a paid upgrade.
No, it says you can upgrade at no additional cost to the PS5 version and can take advantage of a paid upgrade.
Yeah, for the original game.
Yeah.
So, Miles Morales, think of Miles Morales as an expansion or whatever, right? That expansion is free if you have it on PS4 to PS5. If you want the PS4 game of Spider-Man to the PS5 and you have the Miles Morales one, it's a paid upgrade to like complete that set.
Yeah, I think it's like $20 or something like that, based on the physical editions anyways.
So it's still cheaper that way. The rest of the thing is there are no current plans or plans currently to offer Spider-Man Remastered as a standalone. Players with a copy of Marvel Spider-Man for PS4 can purchase the Miles Morales Ultimate Edition To experience Marvel Spider-Man Remastered on PS5. Marvel Spider-Man on PS4 will also be compatible on PS5. So this is where it gets confusing, but it still kind of makes sense.
That's really dumb.
Yeah. You can still play the old version of Spider-Man for PS4 on your PS5, but you're not getting the PS5 version of that game.
Okay, yeah, that one makes sense to me, and Xbox is doing similar stuff. I think what's making everything confusing is they're offering free upgrades to some things and then free not, and now there's going to be like separate versions of games running on one console based on how much money you've spent. Like, it is getting very confusing.
Yeah. Yeah, so the best way to think about this is think of Spider-Man Remastered as a remaster, a whole different product, right? That you have to pay for.
That you can only get if you buy Miles Morales.
Or you can purchase, or you can play your OG PS4 version that came out like 2 years ago on the new system. Like, it's so, it's dumb.
And then pretend.
Yeah, exactly.
Then just pretend it looks better.
Exactly. That's funny.
I'm gonna buy Miles Morales on my PS5, and I'm gonna play that, and I'm not gonna play any version of original Spider-Man ever again. That's my strategy.
Okay.
That's simple. That makes sense to me.
Yep.
That's what's gonna happen. Yep.
I just thought this was kind of interesting news and good news for game stuff. Amnesia went open source, so they released the code for Amnesia the Dark Descent and A Machine for Pigs. What this means is that Amnesia is not free, but if you are a modder or a programmer, a game dev, any of that sort of stuff, you can go through their code, look at it, take parts of it. This is an important step in games lasting forever on the internet. This is why Doom is like on everything. Because Doom is open source, so people and the community can keep it alive forever. Amnesia is going that road too. So that's good news for people that like that game. I don't particularly like those games, but I like the idea of games not dying when they're old. So sure. For preservation, it's super important. No Man's Sky got another huge update. 3.0 patch. Yeah.
Did you see that trailer?
No, I didn't watch it. Apparently,
there's a giant worm in it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude's just walking around. Giant worm comes out of the ground, flies over top of him.
Nice.
That's, yeah, okay.
They added a weather system, a whole bunch of different environmental stuff, including mountains and like volcanoes and shit like that. Yeah, a whole bunch of new systems. Seems neat.
Like a ton more planets I saw. Yep. There's like a lot. This game is intimidating in how big it is.
I agree, but as somebody who played it kind of recently, it's still kind of boring. Because like there's a giant
worm.
Yeah, maybe that does it. It's still basically just shooting a plant to get carbon to build a small upgrade. And doing that for like 100 hours. It's still that. So, yeah. People should still check it out, though. Because if you want that type of game, it's there. And it's probably the biggest of them. It's just not for me. This is just kind of weird bad news. If you remember, I talked about a game called Disintegration, where you play a like mech pilot that controls a bunch of like little dudes by flying on this in the sky and like giving them orders. They're closing down the multiplayer for this game. It's only been 5 months, but nobody's playing it. So in November, this game will no longer have multiplayer. The single player will be intact still. But the multiplayer I thought was interesting because it was kind of like you and I think 3 or 4 other people on your team controlling like 5 people each to like do this weird real time like strategy shooter mech shooter type thing. And there's nothing else like it. That's probably why it didn't catch on, because it's weird and obscure and it's kind of not great, but it's interesting. But now it's dead. So, yeah.
This robot's wearing clothes.
Yeah. Sure. Among Us got canceled. Among Us 2 the got sequel. Canceled.
Right.
So, oh, yeah. We
Yeah, we talked about that earlier.
I mean, yeah, but it was still news. It's not my fault you jumped the gun.
I can't help it. I was talking about it.
Yeah, no.
Time is like a river, and it flows.
Yeah,
one direction.
It's true. I just found that interesting. That like 30 days after, they're like, "We're making a sequel." They're like, "No, we're not."
Yep.
Yeah, that game needs definitely some improvements, and it's cool to see that they're coming for people that already bought
Apparently, it doesn't need improvements. It's doing just fine.
It definitely needs improvements. It also helps that it's 5 bucks. Being able to hide the room code would be amazing. I hate that you can't hide the room code naturally.
That's what your webcam is for, or a random GIF.
Random GIF, yeah. Like a built-in VoIP would go do wonders, like if it made you shut... If it was open and then it shut off automatically so people couldn't, like, cheese it, that would be kind of neat for random lobbies. If you play random lobbies for whatever reason. Yeah, there's a bunch of stuff they could do to make it better. New minigames would be cool.
Double jump.
Or double jump would be great. Dedicated
hug button.
A hug button would be great, honestly. This was kind of interesting news. So there was a huge community push for Left 4 Dead 2 to make this like giant final patch thing, like a big campaign with a bunch of stuff in it. And it got officially integrated into the game, and the game Left 4 Dead 2 is free on PC this weekend to play. So people can play this thing if they want to. So it's a whole new campaign. There's 26 new survival maps, pitchfork and shovel melee weapons, new animations, some unused voice lines previously for the survivors. It's a pretty big like community thing that was kind of just added. So The Last Stand, you can, if you were looking for a reason to get into Left 4 Dead 2 again, even if you don't have it on PC, it's free this weekend. You can jump in. Yeah, it's just kind of interesting that that got as big as it did and then released officially.
You know, double jump is the best game mechanic.
Yeah, probably.
Hug button might be the second best game mechanic.
Brave stance.
Yeah. What about petting a dog?
I feel like those are pretty similar.
Pet the dog with a hug.
Yeah.
Petting the dog is kind of like giving it a hug. It's like a one-handed hug.
Yep.
I got to think on this more.
Yeah. Write it down in your dream journal. TGS is happening as of today. So not a whole lot of big news or like cool things released yet. The big thing is that we have a date for Nier Reincarnation, which is the re-release of Nier Gestalt that was on PS3 before.
Is this the one that has the full name? And if so, can you please read it?
What, Nier
Reincarnation? I'm trying to find it. No, it's got a ridiculous name.
That's the stupid like subtitle or whatever. Yeah, what is it?
I just want to be accurate in case someone's confused about what we're talking about.
Uh-huh. Nier Replicant version 1.22474487139... ..
Okay, yeah, in case you were thinking it was the other one.
Nobody was thinking it was the other one. I don't think.
I'm just covering our bases. That's what we do here.
April 23rd, 2021 is when that comes out. And then I don't know any of the other shit.
Don't Nod, developers of Life is Strange, Vampyr, Life is Strange 2. Mm-hmm. Among other games. They're opening a second studio in Montreal and working on new IPs. So I'm just happy to see that they're doing well enough that they can expand in such a significant way. So good job. I like those games. In terms of people doing new stuff, Michelle Ancel, who you may know as the creator of Rayman, is leaving Ubisoft specifically to open a wildlife sanctuary. which didn't that seems like an appropriate fit for someone who made Rayman.
Didn't we talk about this last week?
No, you weren't here.
Two weeks ago, rather?
No.
Nope. Where in the world did I talk about this?
I don't think
this
happened 2 weeks ago. Did you make this happen? Did you dream this up?
I remember this discussion, and I thought it was with you two, but weird.
You had a dream podcast, and we need to release that episode.
Because frankly, I don't even care about this news, so it wasn't with me.
I just thought it was adorable that he's opening a wildlife sanctuary.
That's good.
He also gave an update that Wild and Beyond Good and Evil 2 are still happening without him, obviously, though.
Sure.
But anyways, he posted on Instagram a picture of him with like a lion.
That's pretty good.
Oh, wait. No, it's like a fox.
Oh, okay. That's less good.
That's how he announced this. So I don't know. The fox is pretty cute. It's like it stole his bag of some kind of food. That was it didn't get very far.
All right.
Anyway, good luck to that guy.
Yeah.
The Game Awards, we got a release date. We got a date of December 10th, so mark your calendars for that. We'll have new consoles by that point. That's going to be a whole different world.
Yeah.
We'll still have COVID, though.
Yeah. Thanks for the reminder.
Yeah, never forget. Mike Bithell's new game has been announced, coming out early October, called The Solitaire Conspiracy. If you're wondering who Mike Bithell was, he did Thomas Was Alone. He did that John Wick Hex game. He's done a bunch of different stuff. This is a spy-based solitaire story game that just seems cool. There's character classes. I'm here for it. This looks up my alley. And taking a card game and doing something kind of RPG-like with it, yeah. That just seems cool to me. October 6th.
Yeah, it looks neat.
So
I'll check it out.
The Solitaire Conspiracy. And last little bit of news, Jet. What's the subtitle again? Hang on. The Far Shore, otherwise known as that game that the Super Brothers, Sword and Sorcery guys, are doing. It's been delayed to next year. Because of course it has.
Yeah.
All right, that does it for news. Let's answer some questions. topdemperspective@gmail.com is the email address. You can also send questions in to Twitter @TDPpodcast, the Discord channel, or John's PO Box. Kevin writes, how many encores are too many?
Three.
Two?
Three. We're talking like a concert, right?
Yeah. I assume so.
I can't think of encores, like where another scenario an encore would happen.
Skullgirls versions.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay. All right. I think I'm with Paul. Three is too many.
I've been to two a couple that like, I've done two, and it was okay, but it was.
I feel like you don't. Two is, yeah. I feel like you don't need to do a second encore. Just put stuff in the first encore, or put stuff in before any of the encores.
I feel like you definitely do an encore because who does not?
Yeah,
do
you
an
do
encore?
One encore at least.
Yeah,
I think we're all in agreement with that.
Then I feel like if you come up with a second encore, there better be a good reason.
Yeah.
So I'm assuming it's going to be a pretty good encore.
Like
so,
that second encore has
but
to be
it's
like,
also like okay,
one song is, that everyone expects end. You to do that's just gigantic.
So I've been at a concert before that ended, and then the encore came on, and then they did the song that everybody expected, and during that, and then they left. And then nobody fucking left. Everybody kept cheering for like 10 minutes and then they came back on stage. They're like, okay, we'll do another one or two. Then we're out. It's like, <"All> right.
I don't think I've ever done one that's, I don't think I've ever done two encores.
They're not that common.
Yeah, they're super rare.
Three is so like holy two, shit. You better like, there better be a fucking good ass reason.
No, three is like, untenable. Like I'm out after, if there's two, I'm like, okay, you're pushing it, but this is fine.
I'm there with you, but I'm saying if they're doing a third, there's got to be like saving like some pyrotechnics. They're doing like they brought in a whole other band that I just also happen to like. Like, this, you know, I don't know. There's got to be a good reason for a third one.
Yeah, for sure. Okay. Matthew writes in and says, or asks, I think most people who hate Final Fantasy 13 hate it because they don't like it being called Final Fantasy. If it hadn't been called Final Fantasy, I think a good chunk of its hatedom would either like it or be indifferent to it. Are there any games you think would have a more generally positive fan reception if the only thing that was changed was it wasn't part of a franchise? Man, Final Fantasy 13 is like the one I was thinking of.
Final Fantasy was definitely the best example.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like anything that goes on this long that they keep updating it, like Assassin's Creed, has completely changed.
Yeah.
I don't know if people would, but I think people actually like it more now that it is kind of turned into like The Witcher.
Sure.
Oh, people are saying Nuts and Bolts in the chat. That's a good answer.
That is a really good answer.
I think that's a good game, but I think people are upset with it because it's not just another Banjo-Kazooie. Yeah.
That's why I liked it. I almost didn't check it out because it was named Banjo-Kazooie Nuts and Bolts. So I agree.
People in the chat just keep quoting that one. Keep it going.
Like, what are some other games that are kind of hated by fandoms?
I mean, every big series has some missing part. Yeah, like Mega Man's probably got one.
What about DMC?
Yeah, DMC.
Yeah,
but DMC was more hated because it was a reboot.
Yeah,
I like DMC a lot. I mean, keep in mind if they were a different IP, they would not sell anywhere near as well.
That's true.
So, I mean, that's what's happening here.
I don't know if Federation Force would have done any better. Federation Force is a good one, too.
Another good example, yeah. All right, Cody writes in and says, if you had to make a video game-themed reality show, what challenge would you make the contestants do? See, the problem is all it comes to mind is the tester, because they did like video game-themed challenges.
Yeah, yeah.
No, that's not a bad thing to come to mind. Mine would definitely involve goo as the penalty.
Sure.
Or gunk, or whatever it was officially called.
Like any good 90s kid.
Yeah.
The first place.
So I definitely want that. The tester did not have that.
They had cockroaches or something, though, right? They had something gross. I don't remember what.
I don't remember.
They did some like light fear factor one once, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah, light fear, yeah. I'm trying to think, like, I feel like most of the answers are going to be like, have to play this video game really well or really fast. And I'm trying to think, how would you take it outside of playing a game, but also still make it game themed? Like
you take the world.
You have
the
to
game.
Play a real life Fall Guys level.
Yeah, that'd be fun. That'd be super entertaining. Be fun. I was going to say, be like, all right, well, you're playing like some like Diner Dash style, like mobile game. So like, all right, so now you got to actually serve coffee in real life. Whoever serves the most, does the most orders wins. And they just all work in different Starbucks or something stupid like that.
Okay. That's not bad.
Trying to think of what else. I like it. I would make someone came up with the idea. Like Sean said, the slime, you could say you could work it in the Dragon Quest. Like you have to do like a fake fight. And if you lose, you get slimed.
Yeah. I'd make them wall run. Yeah. Like make over them, like a ball pool.
Learn how to double jump.
Yeah.
Double jump. Yeah. Hug someone or pet a dog.
Yeah. Hug someone.
I think one would be good is like a tapper kind of thing where they actually have to slide it down something really long.
Mm-hmm.
Like a real full like pint glass, frosted pint glass. I got to slide it all the way down like a really long counter shuffleboard kind of style.
Ooh.
That'd be kind of fun. All right. Rasterman writes, if the space bar on your keyboard was the size of a regular letter key, what other keys would you use in the remaining space of the layout?
Other keys that are also just the space key, because I can't live without a gigantic space bar.
Sure. Yeah, I think we all want a gigantic space bar, but like, is there ever a button where you're like, I wish I had a keyboard for shortcut for that?
Maybe like delete.
This is kind of the opposite one. I would like to get rid of whatever the FN key is. Do you guys have one of these
function keys? Yeah.
Yeah.
Function. I don't want that. I don't use that thing ever.
I mean, I have like macro keys, so I have extra keys already. I wouldn't use these extra keys for anything.
Well, what do you have your keys set up for then?
I don't. That's what I'm saying, is I have extra keys and I don't need them.
Oh, okay. I'm trying to think. You know what? This is like super video editor-y. On Macs, if you hit the space bar on a piece of media, you get a preview window of it, whether it's a video or a song.
Sure.
Windows doesn't have that. I just want that on Windows.
Sure.
So I would a key that would do that. That thing is the only thing I miss about using like my work Mac for editing.
Yeah. I'm kind of like, I don't know if Rasterman is actually in the chat. I'm kind of wondering what prompted this question. Like, what would you do, Rasterman? Why did you think of this?
I saw people saying copy and paste, cut, all those would be good keys to have.
Yeah, that's true. Copy, paste, sure. Although, anything that requires like three buttons to do, I would want it to be that. And I'm trying to think of what some of those are.
Just opening up like your task manager, right? Like Control Alt Delete, yeah, or sure. Whatever.
Or no, Control Shift Escape, right?
Same thing.
Or task manager. Yeah.
Hey, that's the one that doesn't bring up the screen, the log off screen. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for Photoshop, Control Alt Z is to go back further than one step, but I think it's also the key command for opening up GeForce's like shadow play thing.
Yeah.
So as a result, I can't use that undo button in Photoshop, which sucks because I never use GeForce's shadow play. I really should disable that. You can just
turn it off. Yeah.
Yeah. I just haven't done that.
Sure. Yeah. Good answer. Sukusuku says one game of your choice will get updates and quality of life improvements until the end of time. It will always be available to you, even if the sun were to explode. What is that game?
I feel like that's Tetris because it always gets updated and new versions always come out.
Is that the one you would choose, though? You just want an always evolving Tetris?
That would be kind of neat.
It's not a bad idea.
Mine's honestly. Apex.
Yeah, I'm going to take the boring answer and just be like, well, I'm just going to keep WoW going forever because I might want to jump back in one day.
Sure.
Oh, yeah, some game that lasts a long time like that would be good.
Yeah, for sure.
But I think Tetris does keep getting updated in different ways, so you're kind of getting that. But this is just guaranteeing that it never stops. But yeah, mine would be Apex at this point.
From Dead and Sky, what are some of your most satisfying co-op experiences that you've ever had? Playing through Halo 4, I think it was, Legendary with three players was a fun experience.
Oh, okay.
And all the other Halos.
Mine's got to be some of the, like, you know, I was going to say, like, some of the Rock Band like marathon sessions I've done with friends in the past, kind of more recent stuff. Like super recent, it would be just like the, whenever there's new Overcooked stages.
Oh, okay.
My buddy and I will always go in there and we'll always play all the new Overcooked stuff. And that's great. But some of the really nice ones are every time I go home for Christmas, there's always some co-op game that has come out that year that I'm like, all right, guys, here's the game we should be playing. And it's like, it's either Overcooked or like last year it was Heave Ho. I think the year before that it was Ultimate Chicken Horse, and those are super great.
I love doing the Gears games co-op.
Okay.
Those games are fun.
I remember some marathon sessions of Gears 2 Horde. Like, all right, we're going to sit down and we're going to do 50 waves of that.
Yep.
Let's go.
I think that's just a game of Horde.
Yep.
I mean, co-op is the only reason to play Resident Evil 5 and 6. It's literally the only reason. Otherwise, those games are fucking garbage.
I didn't notice that there was a second part here from Den's guy as well. I know a joke on this podcast is what Fast and Furious movie will be out when you die. But with the 10th one being the final one, potentially a two-parter, what franchise should take its place in that hypothetical? James Bond.
Say that. Why would they stop it at 10?
James Bond is a good one, yeah.
That's a good answer. So, like, what does taking its place even mean? Like a ridiculous...
Like, no, a franchise that will keep going forever.
Oh, like, the one that we can slot into the joke, I guess, yeah. Right? I see. Okay. Yeah, yeah, James Bond. I feel like James Bond is so long at this one, though. It's not, like, hilarious yet to say.
I guess, because, yeah, it's been going since, like, the 60s.
Right, whereas the Fast and Furious one is hilarious because it's like, I can't believe these are still going. Who expected this?
Yeah.
If they kept making like Toy Story movies, that would be pretty ridiculous. if they kept finding another reason to be like, this is going to be the actual
the kids ending. Grew up again.
Yeah. But if they were actually, because like 3 had such a great ending and then like we're doing 4 and it was like, oh, come on. But then 4 was like, oh, actually, this is a pretty good ending too. If every time they came up with a reason to be like, no, this is like a heartfelt ending, that would be pretty crazy to me. Someone says Star Wars. That's a good one.
Ugh. Yeah, it is.
I mean, it'll happen.
Yeah. I felt instantly
Shrek
sick.
Movies. I think Shrek would be good because aren't they working on like a reboot of Shrek?
I don't know. There hasn't been a Shrek thing in a while, so.
I'm pretty sure that they announced a reboot of Shrek. Can't quite remember though.
Maybe like Godzilla movies. Those just keep coming out for whatever.
We got MCU reason. Movies. We got Mission Impossible movies. These are all great answers. Yeah. Rinku writes, what's a video game box art you'd frame and hang on the wall?
I don't know.
NES Mega Man 1.
Yeah, that's a good one, actually. I really like the Mega Man box arts, like all of them, basically. Well, all the ones that they put effort in.
What's the fake Meat Boy box art they made that was like super gross?
Oh, yeah. I think that one was a parody of the Mega Man ones.
The PC box art? That one's awesome.
I actually have the SNES Mighty Morphin Power Rangers box art up on a poster, so I guess that's my answer.
I don't have the box art because it doesn't really have box art, but I have a framed picture of the poster from Pyre they sold in the store, and just today I bought the Hades poster from the store. My favorite box art, though, of all time is Katamari Damacy.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That is such a good one. I love it so much. I am waiting to find a good quality, big version poster of that, and I would buy that and put that on my wall.
Also, I just realized the visual gag doesn't work for people that are listening. I have a Resident Evil poster right behind me.
Yep.
So. For audio only. All right, VGC Kenny says, which of the following do you think works best as a name for the follow-up to Untitled Goose Game? Untitled Goose Game 2, a sequel to Untitled Goose Game. Titled Goose Game. Untitled 2's Game, or Untitled 2's Game with the letter, or with the number 2. Goose Game, Goose Goose. Untitled Geese Game. Untitled Goose Game 2, Two Goose, Two Ganderous. Untitled Goose Game 2, The Goose is Loose.
I can't believe you didn't add in Untitled Goose Game.
I think these are nonsense, and I think a sequel to Untitled Goose Game is the best one, and the most. I think that's the one they would do.
They would probably do that, yeah.
Or the sequel.
Special shout out to Two Goose, Two Ganderous, though. That one really got me.
Yeah, that's a good one. Real. Two Goose, Two Ganderous. It's really good.
Next one from Linebeck. What games have been the most difficult and annoying for you to find and buy? Any high-end rare NES game?
None.
I don't think I have an answer to this.
Question for Paul. At this point, I've beaten Dark Souls 1 to 3 and Bloodborne. Should I go for Sekiro, Code Vein, or Nioh next? I'm mainly looking for whatever's most like Bloodborne.
You should go for Sekiro, Nioh, and then Code Vein in that order.
There you go.
You should go for Ashen.
And then go to Nioh 2, because apparently Nioh 2 is better than 1.
Yeah, Nioh 2, or Nioh 1 is not good. Actually, like, out of those, the answer is just Sekiro. I mean, it's a FromSoft game, and it plays like Bloodborne, so.
Should go for the remake of Demon's Souls.
That too. You should maybe go for that. That won't play like Bloodborne, though. But yes, you should play that.
Hebrew Lantern writes, if Dwayne Johnson is The Rock, what other two celebrities would be paper and scissors?
God damn it. Well, okay. One. The first question is, who beats The Rock? Because that's paper. And then anybody could be scissors, because The Rock can beat anybody.
Okay, how about this? On the count of three, we all say our answer for who scissors would be.
I don't have one, so...
You gotta say an actor. You gotta say an actor. You gotta say an actor. Person.
Yep.
It's gonna be 1, 2, 3, you say the person. Ready?
Okay.
1, 2, 3.
Jason Statham.
Okay. And let's do the same thing for paper. 1, 2, 3, and you say the person, okay? 1, 2, 3, Carl Weathers.
Oh, interesting.
Oh.
You guys didn't say one for paper.
Yeah, because you gave us 3 seconds.
Yeah.
You got to just say someone.
I don't think of actors and actresses that often.
John Cena is Paul paper.
Paul, who did you say for scissors?
Jason Statham.
Okay. I said Van Damme because he's known for doing the splits.
Okay, that's pretty good.
I feel like the paper has to be someone like super, like they wouldn't win in a fight, but they'd win in like a battle of smarts or smarminess. So I almost like, I want to say Michael Caine, someone like that kind of.
Sure. Interesting. To them. Yeah. Okay.
Or Michael Keaton. Batman. No,
not Michael Keaton.
The Birdman.
All right. Who's got last question?
Wait, was that Sean that asked that question?
Pretty sure.
Yeah, okay. So, Gutang Clan says, what game, video game or video game series should be a television series? Exclude the ones that are have been made or currently being made, i.e. Mario Bros., Witcher, Mega Man, Castlevania, to name a few.
All right, I have the correct answer, but you guys say yours first, and then I'll come in at the end.
Problem is, everything I'm thinking of has already got one.
Yep.
Or had one. I was like, Final Fantasy, dude. Nope, that's got one. No. Mortal Kombat, no, that's got one. Devil May Cry, no, that's got one.
I would love a Metal Gear Solid series.
Ratchet and Clank.
Crazy. Ooh.
Ratchet and Clank. That's sure. Good. Yeah, I can see like a cartoon. All right, the real answer is Control.
Control would be perfect. Yep. A weekly serial or whatever, where there's a different crazy thing going on in the old house.
Yep. That'd be so good.
It's actually the right answer, legitimately. Damn it.
I knew it. I didn't want to say it first and have you guys not just be intimidated. So, all right. If you would like to send in a question for next week, it's topdownperspective@gmail.com, at TDP Podcast on Twitter, the Discord channel, or John's P.O. Box. What's your game of the week?
Hades.
Mine is also Hades.
Okay. Among Us.
Okay, cool. All right. If you are a Google Podcasts fan, Top Down Perspective is on Google Podcasts. Hopefully that helps somebody. I don't know. It's also now on Spotify. I'm assuming that helps a few more people. Otherwise, yeah. In terms of our Patreon, October's game is going to be Hades, which is great. My game finally won. It's been so long. So I was happy to see that. Talking about the Patreon, the September TDP Plus game will be happening just after this. We are going to be talking about Battletoads, so either stay tuned or go check that out if you're looking at the archive. Either way, we'll see you guys next week.
Bye, everybody. Bye.